track 3, Hopeless and Helpless, Nightmares and Flashbacks. In the last track, we discussed the secondary consequences of sexual abuse of narrowing of emotions, emotional flooding, emotional numbing, and shortened attention span. These behaviors result when the pressure to release pain becomes stronger than the defenses being used. In this track, we will look at the secondary consequences of feeling hopeless and helpless, nightmares, and flashbacks. At the end, we will discuss 2 self-discovery exercises you might consider using with your clients. According to an incident study of reported child abuse, the following percentages of perpetrators are as follows. The highest group were non-parental relatives at 44%, followed by biological fathers at 8%, stepfathers at 8%, other acquaintances 8%, and babysitters at 7%. A child's friends or peers, family friends, were each identified as alleged perpetrators in 55% of sustained cases. Teachers were identified in 4% of the cases, and other professionals, strangers, and a parent's boyfriend or girlfriend were identified in 2% of the cases. In 5% of the sustained sexual abuse cases, mothers were identified as the alleged perpetrator, 3% biological mothers, and 2% stepmothers. Kevin fell into the 44% who were perpetrated by non-parental relatives. In a case conference, a colleague of mine discussed Kevin, age 15, who felt he had no power to control what happened to him as a child. Kevin remembers his uncle forced him to have sex whenever he babysat. He struggled with the persistent feeling of hopelessness and helplessness, Kevin stated. There is this nagging feeling that anything I do won't turn out right. You know, like, what's the point? Let's look at Kevin's nightmares and body memories. Kevin suffered from violent nightmares that caused him to wake up screaming, sweating, and in a state of terror or fear. In group, Kevin shared, "I keep having the same dream over and over again. I'm in a house, and there is a man trying to get in. I'm so afraid. I run from room to room, checking that all the windows and doors are closed and locked. My fear grows, as I am sure he's going to get in no matter what I do. I can't get in the last door. I see it begins to open, and then I wake up screaming." Regarding flashbacks, Kevin stated, "I have thoughts of my uncle overpowering me. These pictures seem to happen more and more often. I can't believe this really happened to me. Am I going crazy?" These extremely vivid and terrifying bits and pieces of memory surface without warning, leaving Kevin suddenly feeling out of control or crazy, as he put it. Kevin's therapist stated, "Flashbacks are mini scenarios like a snapshot that is triggered by an object or a person. Do you need to provide your Kevin with a definition of flashbacks in your next session?" As you know, while body memories are similar to flashbacks, they often surface during sex, are experienced by survivors of physical sexual abuse, and typically mirror the childhood sexual experience. Amber, age 19, experienced sexual abuse from her father between the ages of 4 and 6. When Amber's mother discovered what was happening, she divorced her father. Amber explained to the group, "Everything was normal. My boyfriend Tony and I were making love just as we had always done. Then suddenly I felt smothered. I couldn't breathe. I panicked, and I began to hit him. The pain was so powerful, it was horrible. I couldn't believe what was happening. Neither could Tony. We had made love lots of times before, and nothing like this had ever happened." Amber initially did not realize she was sexually abused as a child, yet her body remembered in the middle of sex years later with her boyfriend. The following 2 self-discovery exercises helped Kevin and Amber with their secondary consequences of nightmares, flashbacks, and body memories. The first secondary consequence I call the I exercise, because the client completes the statement that starts with the word I. Because each of us rarely sees ourselves as being just one way, this exercise offers the opportunity to explore the many facets of self-perception. I ask Amber to give me two answers to each of the following statements. I am, I feel, I think, I do, and I wish. Like many clients, Amber gave negative responses to these questions. Amber stated, I think I am a piece of garbage. I think no one likes me. I feel hopeless. I feel sick all the time. I am never going to get better. I'm a bad girl. I do need to work on myself. I do not like myself. I wish I was done with this. I wish I were dead. I also found the feeling responses exercise to be helpful with Amber by identifying the situations or experiences that produced her particular state of fear, joy, anger, etc. I requested Amber to respond to the following phrases. I repeated each phrase several times. I feel most afraid when. I feel the most joy when. I feel angriest when. I feel saddest when. I feel the most hurt when. I feel the most ashamed when. And I feel the most stressed out when. Here is a sampling of Amber's responses. I feel the most afraid when I think about what my father did. I feel the most joy when I think about the fact that my mother divorced my father for it. I feel angriest about how my father took advantage of me. I feel saddest when I think about how this affects me now. I feel the most hurt when I feel my father didn't love me enough to stop. I feel the most ashamed when part of me enjoyed it. And I feel the most stressed out when I think about having sex and the pain returning. As you can see, the use of incomplete phrases helped Amber to explore her feelings, to enable her to release them by moving the feelings from unconscious to her conscious awareness. How about your Amber, or perhaps a Kevin you are treating? Would they benefit by identifying and expressing feelings by completing I phrases or feeling phrases? The use of I phrases and feeling phrase exercises, I find, most probably are not completed in one setting, but provide a variety of thought-provoking questions to stimulate the self-discovery process, bringing the unconscious to the conscious and facilitating the healing process. Now that we've talked about the secondary consequences of feeling hopeless and helpless, nightmares, and flashbacks, in the previous track, we talked about the narrow range of emotions, emotional flooding, emotional numbing, and shortened attention span. The next track will discuss the secondary consequences of panic attacks, body objectification, chronic fatigue, and minor illness. You will receive the technique of view from the eyes of others at the end of the next track. Question 3. What experiences similar to flashbacks often experienced during sex and are experienced by the survivors of physical sexual abuse?